quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced and is broadcasting on unceded stolen lands of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. At Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and oh my god, the heat is getting to me. Is it getting to you? Perhaps not. Maybe you are a little bit more lucky than I am. If you've been a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays, you know, because I talk about this like at every, essentially like any time that I can, just to complain. I'm very heat sensitive. And so this heat wave is like, it's getting to me. It's getting to me. And then, you know, in the past couple of years, becoming a little bit more sensitive and aware of, you know, green initiatives and the planet and the land and, you know, the environment in general. Not only am I suffering physically, but I am also suffering on a psychological level. Thinking about how, oh, it is so hot. Middle of June, ooh, baby, it is so hot. And guess what? It's gonna get even hotter next year, and the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. It's not a good time. And I'm not the only one who's suffering. You might be as well, of course, but for a very long time, my computer was also suffering. I, for a very long time, was using the old family computer to produce this program, which was good and all, fun and all. However, that old family computer in 2020 was 11 years old, probably 12 years old, very, very old. The baseline is just very old. You would hear it in the background, especially during the summer. Finally, at one point I was like, okay, I really gotta hunker down and like get a new computer, because I love making the show and I actually need a new computer. I have to like use a computer sometimes, but I never did it. I don't know if it was because I got lazy or because I just had too much going on in the brain. Again, climate change does that to you, but I never did it until it was too late. November of last year, my computer of 17 or 18 years crapped out on me, finally, in the middle of producing an episode of TT. And I was like, okay, well, I really gotta get a new computer now. Except I didn't. I just ended up using my mother's computer for 6 months until today. Until now. Not exactly today, but until now. My dear listener of Typically Tuesday, I'm so excited to share with you the grand, great news, exciting human achievement, which is that I finally bought a new computer. Round of applause for me, specifically. It is a refurbished laptop. It costed a pretty penny because it is new, of course. But being refurbished, I was able to save some money and also like try not to contribute too much to the environmental damage and exploitation of mineral mining and stuff like that. So it works fine. It is a beaut. You know, I made last week's episode on it. Didn't have a chance to talk about that, but this is a belated celebration, you know? So please congratulate me. Please send me your well wishes. Text me over at 778-782-CJSF or 778-782-2573. I can read your text. And please, just praise me. I've been putting that in the back burner for so long. I need a little bit of validation. Just write, Leslie, I'm a listener of Typically Tuesdays. Congratulations on getting a new computer. Wow. Bravo. I'll be like, yeah, thank you. And I will shout you out next week. Let's get on with the meat. Let's get on to the meat. Let's get the meat of today's episode of Typically Tuesdays. Joining me later on, in just a very short, brief period of time, are the performers and organizers of Moikai 2. You might have heard of them before because they were on the show last year. Moikai is an idol music-centric performance festival that's happening later on this week over in Richmond, June 20th. You can get your tickets now over on anniesocial.square.site. But also, keep your ears peeled for today's show because I'm going to be talking to some really cool folks who've been in the scene for a while, in the scene, some of them for several years, and also people who have kind of just joined the local Vancouver overseas idol scene. I'm very excited to have that conversation with them, and I hope you're excited to listen to it as well. Learn a thing or two about idols. Come on. Gear up and get ready. Let's listen to a bird note first before we welcome our guests on to Typically Tuesdays.
This is Bird Note. It's hard to think of a more lowly regarded bird than the pigeon. But as Rosemary Mosco writes in her book, A Pocket Guide to Pigeon Watching, people and pigeons go back thousands of years and were beloved by royalty. Akbar the Great, ruler of the Mughal Empire in the 16th century, kept over 20,000 pigeons.
Akbar the Great would have visiting dignitaries watch his pigeons fly around, and his hope was to sort of subdue them into awe and, you know, have them want to do business with him.
And in parts of Europe, from the Middle Ages onward, pigeon owning was a privilege.
Like in France and in the UK, you were only really allowed to have pigeons if you were a royal.
England stopped enforcing this pigeon exclusivity in the mid-1600s. But over a century later in France, peasants who built illicit pigeon houses were still being forced to destroy them. Meanwhile, the elite's pigeons were allowed to fly into peasants' fields and snack on their crops. So pigeon ownership became a flashpoint in the French Revolution.
When the poor rose up, one of the things they did was they smashed all of the pigeon houses. And the people in charge desperately passed through these measures that said that, yes, okay, the poor can keep pigeons.
Pigeons are no longer exclusive to nobility. But next time you see these birds, consider giving them a little more respect. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Hope you enjoyed those pigeon facts. There's a great episode of the podcast called 500 Open Tabs, specifically about pigeons, and they go over like the several types of pigeons and like the history of them. Oh, it's so good. Anyways, enough of the pigeon fangirling. We're here with the performers and organizers of Moikai 2, Electric Boogaloo, which is shortened to its true name, Moikai 2 only. We're going to be talking about this event, kind of promoting it and talking a little bit about the local scene, what it was like, how it's changed, and doing a little bit of a fangirling, fanboying, fan-lemming, etc. Just to spice things up a little bit, you know? Folks were on the program last year performing the first iteration of Moikai, and the show was so successful, they decided to come back on very graciously. Thank you so much for joining me here, everybody. Why don't we do a quick round of introductions?
Hello, I'm Shirei. I'm the leader of Cloud Town Idols. We are a local idol group based in Vancouver, and we do J-pop covers. And soon, during this Moikai, we're going to release our demo of our first original song, so we're really excited about it.
Hi, my name is Mickey. I'm one of the leaders of Boyish 7. We are an anime idol cosplay cover group, and we just do covers of often anime idol boy series. and we've been around for a while.
Very exciting to for you to talk a little bit about your tenure in the scene, but we'll save
Oh,
that for a little bit
yes.
later.
Oh, you will hear much about it.
Hi, I'm Pocket. I'm one of the event organizers at Anime Social. So we're the team that runs Moikai and also a couple other events like Ikemen Cafe and the Anime Social Conventions.
Very successful cafe and convention the past couple of months as well. I saw the men, the many
Yes, the
men.
men.
Yes. Congratulations on that. And then actually if you've been a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays and you listened to last year's episode also promoting Moikai, then you would have familiarized yourself with Shire, Mickey, and Pocket, but we have a new person on the program today as well. Yui, please go ahead.
My name is Yui. I'm from the group of three people. It's called Tuesday. And then we just had our performance on TJ Fest. We debuted. And then we are the local J-pop cover group. And in the future, we might do our original songs too. So, yeah.
Amazing. Thank you everybody for joining me today. For let's talk a little bit quickly about the event that we're going to be discussing. So imagine there's no social media and I don't know, maybe there's no radio even. We're back in the olden days where you're like handing out flyers to people on the street, okay? And you see me and then you give me a flyer. And I'm not just like any other kind of like passerby. I genuinely want to hear what this event is about. So talk a little bit about the event. Tell me about Moikai. Really pitch it to me.
Okay, I think if I was to pitch Moikai to you in a social media-less world and you're really interested, I would be like, "Hi, did you know that we actually have a really, really strong Japanese-inspired idol community?" And what that means is that we have a bunch of local performers who pour all of their passion and love for Japanese songs, Japanese idols, anime, Vocaloid, all that really good stuff, and they turn it into their own live performances on the stage. Well, we have a concert of just purely these passionate people singing, dancing, choreographing, cosplaying their hearts out to show their love for Japanese culture. And if you come to this concert, it's going to be a really, really fun time, not only because of the amazing performers that are going to be there, but also just the community in general is very, very special. We have in our community, there's something called Wodage, which is a dance that the audience do with light sticks to show their support to the idols. So it's a very, very unique community that I very much recommend checking out. If you're interested in seeing some very, very cool performances of Japanese music.
That sounds really cool. Stranger on the street. When is this happening and where?
Oh, well, Moikai is going to be happening on June 20th from 1 p.m. onwards. There's going to be five different groups performing. So there's going to be like 3 hours of dancing and singing, and then there's going to be a meet and greet afterwards where you get to meet the amazing performers, take some photos with them, stuff like that. And it's going to be in Richmond. The exact location can be found on our website, animesocial.ca. Otherwise, you can find it on our poster on Instagram. I know this was supposed to be a posterless world, but the address itself is number 200 at 12500 Vickers Way, Richmond, BC. Do you want the exact address?
Yes, amazing. Thank you. That sounds like a really great summary of what this event entails, and also a really good description of technically what it falls under, which is like the term that it falls under, which is a Taiban. Yeah, so thank you. We've got a good mix of folks on the program today who have varying, I think, like lengths of experience in the local idol scene. I mean, Boyer 7, we highlighted it really quickly when you were introducing yourself, Mickey, but your group has been around for 10 years. Cloudtown is pretty established, but is about half of that age. And then Tuesday, even though you just debuted you've been a performer for a while, also about 10 years, took a hiatus and then came back.
Yes.
Tell me about what the Vancouver Idol scene was like back when you first started learning about idols, and especially learning about idols in Vancouver. Or you can interpret that question as, like, tell me about what the idol scene looked like when you debuted, or just before you debuted. And what do you think has changed throughout the years?
I mean, like, 10 years ago, there's definitely no checkies, no goods, and stuff like that.
Hey, it's Editing Leslie. Really quickly here, we're going to be using the term checkie throughout this entire show. And what checkie refers to, if you're not already familiar, it's a Japanese term for Polaroid photo. At basically every idol event, after the performances, you get an opportunity to actually go meet the performer who you like and take a Polaroid photo with them. I hope that clears some things up. Let's go onward.
And then also not a lot of anime event convention or like place for us to perform as well. Right now, I feel like there's much more opportunity for the performers to do different things like what you guys were organizing, like Ikemen Cafe, and you guys also can perform there as well. And like sometimes they do the May Cafe as well, they also can perform there. So which is really good. A lot of opportunity for performance to like show themselves and perform on stage. And like, yeah, of course, like 10 years ago, the Instagram has just started. And then also like not a lot of people like using, I mean, social media and stuff. And that's why it's kind of hard to advertise your group and let other people to know about your group and something like that. I think like 10 years from now, this is like a really big change, what I think. Yeah.
I guess I just want to add on to that. I can confirm everything that you were saying. We did not have Instagram back then. We only had Facebook. And I just remember the days when we was like, hey guys, you gotta get the Facebook event out, share it to all your friends, all three of them, make sure as many of them can reach it. We didn't have any checkies, and mostly at the time there weren't a lot of opportunities to perform back then. Mostly we had like one of the only places we could actually perform would be like an anime convention, which is like the only quote unquote socially acceptable place to perform, especially because us at Boyish 7, we're an anime idol cosplay group. So we usually perform in cosplay. But even with that said, like we still, as Boyish 7, we still wanted to like, you know, we still wanted to get more experiences. We're like, hey, you know what? We do like what we do. We still want to share it with as many people as possible. So there would be times when we had to make opportunities for ourselves. For example, this is a really funny one. I think we were in our like third, fourth year going. No, I think it was in third year. We had a friend who said, hey, you guys want to perform at a retirement home?
Oh, wow.
And we're like, why not? Let's perform at a retirement home. So they had this like, an event at a community center at Guildford with a whole bunch of like people, like the residents of the retirement home coming and just having a good time. And we performed for a bunch of seniors. And it was great. And it happened a couple times, performed for a retirement home. We performed for like local community events. At the time, I remember it was like this one children-based Surrey event we went to, lots of kids, and we were in the library. But yeah, no, it was, yeah, things like that. So nowadays it's really cool to see like anime social, having these great events, like other events too, like Anime Rise also making events like these, or all these different opportunities for idols to come in and perform. We're really thankful for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I didn't know what was going on before us, because I was like, basically Cloud Town, we joined the local scene because we want to attend the anime convention for the first time. So like performing at Anime Revolution at the moment was the first time we ever experienced the community. And I think we also experienced a development as time goes by. First of all, people do no longer use Facebook. I remember submitting a Facebook link to apply for to perform at conventions. And then I think more and more groups are coming as like J-pop idol cover groups in comparison to like Vocaloid or like anime cosplay groups, I think. And also, I think as time goes by, the groups are all developing their merch systems and checky systems, which is like making this whole economy, like I want to call it, like hopefully we build an economy around it. So like make this economy more developed and more round all rounded, so like we can have more people to join this community.
Yeah, we kind of have a society going on, I feel. The Idol Society. Vancouver Idol Society, anyway.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you guys mentioned, like, I guess, like, just how integrated into, like, the anime scene and hobbyist scene at idols used to be. I remember, I mean, even like kind of like 20 years ago, like watching performances of like cosplay groups or anime clubs of like at like other conventions on YouTube, performing sort of dance covers and vocal covers of like popular J-pop or like anime, and I was surprised to find now later on that a lot of the folks who used to do that, am I making myself clear? Yeah, I think the folks who used to do that, 20, 15 years ago, who were going to, I don't know, Anime Revolution and cosplay doing a dance, would now, the idol stuff that's happening now is very similar to what I was doing back then, but it was less interactive with the audience. It was less, I don't know if I can say commercialized, but it was less, there was less of like a specific performer identity behind it. It was more
There
so
wasn't a
about,
label. There wasn't a label for it back then. I would agree. Sorry, don't mean to interject. But
No,
I 100% understood exactly where you're coming from. Like back then, we didn't have any labels like idols were like, I'm a performer. I dance. I go up on stage, put on a little fun costume, have a good time. But it was only until maybe within the last 5 years, I would say, like COVID, like during COVID era, where it was like, oh, this is the idol scene now, you know?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And also, I mean, to also kind of like highlight a lot of the performers back then, their identity would have been like a cosplayer. But now, I mean, not to reveal too many of the secrets that Yui has, I guess, but like after a while you would come out and maybe like do like J-pop dance covers instead, rather than specifically doing like cosplay. You know, anyways, sorry, I was just like really fascinated by that because,
It's fascinating. No, I agree.
thank you. I feel so
No, it's
validated.
absolutely no, like, because again, I've been here for too long. But like just seeing the evolution of the idol community from back then to now, it's like if you had told me 10 years ago, shake me by the shoulders and say, hey, you're going to identify as an idol in 2026, I'd be like, you're insane. I just put on I do cosplay covers That's it. But then, you know, so it's different, but it's neat how it's changed in this way.
Yeah, there's like there's like a totally different like performer identity to it now, right? I was talking last year with some idols from Taiwan. Also check the archive if you haven't listened to it, my interviews with Mekhi Oceanus and Setsna. But these performers from Taiwan, they are established groups and performers out there. And in Taipei, the scene is very there was like a kind of like a hobbyist cosplay and anime loving edge to it when it first started. But now, what they've told me basically that it is evolved into being more of like a, it is considered to be a little bit more like legitimate and commercialized over there. It sits kind of like in the intersection of being heavily inspired by, you know, underground J-pop idol groups, and then also being thought of as like underground Taiwanese music. And so when they performed in North America, they were at Idol Fest last fall, and they saw what the North American scene looked like. They found it really interesting because some of the things that stood out was that in North America, there's a lot more diversity of people and performers, but then and performance styles, but then also the folks who perform in the North American scene, they are still sort of more like hobbyist. And as much as they would want to like take their performances seriously, the outside world would also consider them a little bit more hobbyist and being more related to like the anime scenes and cosplay scenes. From all of your different perspectives and your sort of familiarity, you know, in Vancouver and also from other places, I'm sure you're also observing and maybe even have lived seeing the idol scenes in other places. Can you tell me a bit about how you envision the local scene as it currently stands compared to other alternative idol communities around the world, and where you hope Vancouver will go in the coming years? Let's like think of like, you know, a 5-year vision or like a 10-year vision.
From my own perspective, because I was watching local like underground idol performances in Shanghai and China, and I saw a lot of like online too, like you know, like Isu from iLife. You know, I feel like in a way that I want to turn our hobby into something that we can live with, so like we can our life is depend on it, kind of like we use our hobby and transformed it into professions that hopefully will like make it grow bigger and bigger, and then and eventually we're gonna ha be like professional idols. That's the at least the 5-year goal for it. But also I feel like for the cosplay groups, I still think it's a really valid thing in North America. Like I feel like, because I went to the Oda Fest in Calgary, they also like, I feel like we can just not only just like take the idol scene in Japan or in Asia, we can also start making our own culture, but like to define what is an idol, you know? Like I don't feel like we have to obey or like follow the recipe from Asia. We can create our own recipe and make it great.
Yeah,
Oh
I totally agree. I think that I don't think our community is suited for like necessarily like the traditional format anyway. I think there's a reason why we have so many different types of performers, and why there's just so much diversity here, like you said, like the Taiwan idols mentioned, from like a events organizing perspective as well. We also really want to allow idols to, you know, we want these hobbyists to make their hobbies sustainable, you know. That's like the that would be the best, you know, like if they want to be professional, we want to give them an avenue to be professional. If they want to just be sustainable hobbyists, like we want them to be able to do that too. For example, like Moikai is tricky, like we call it an idol show, but you know, like we have cosplay groups there, we have people who want to do original songs that, you know, are just original songs and maybe not even Japanese, you know, in multiple languages. It's almost more of a like, do you want to be a performer and are you interested in like ACG? You know, it's kind of what it feels like. Do you have the passion? Are you somewhat interested in Japanese culture, anime culture? This is like the space where we want you to show off your hobbies and your skills, and we will respect and look forward to seeing it. And so like, at least in the event space, like I really would like to give, I think we really want to give more opportunities for every single type of performer to be in front of more audiences. Because right now there's, like we have a really big community, but it's also a very tight community. And we don't always get a lot of outsiders. Especially because a lot of this stuff is really, really niche. So it would be amazing if we could introduce new people who haven't heard of you know, maybe even cosplay or, you know, or underground idols. Underground idols is very niche, to like take a little step into this community and be like, hey, these are really cool. Here I can find, you know, incredible like cosplay artists. Here I can find like underground music that I really enjoy, or just a performer that I really look up to. Or maybe these idols are so cute, it just makes my whole week better, you know, something like that. I just hope that we can get the space for all of that to happen together.
Not to glaze you guys a little bit, but I just want to say that I think what Anime Social is doing with Ikemen Cafe is really doing like great things for that, because I feel like a lot of people outside of the community are coming in a lot more. Like, I think I remember seeing like on Instagram, like, you want to go to the, like a foodie's like, you want to go to the Ikemen Cafe, come to this event. It's like, what the heck? this is a normie food account. What y'all doing here?
Mainstream guys.
So I think personally, y'all are making steps towards that. I think it's neat. It's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Maybe just really quickly, since we didn't define it earlier, and a lot of most of the listeners of Typically Tuesdays, which is the show that you're listening to, by the way, here on CGSF 90.1 FM, most of the listeners are normies. What is Ikemen? What does that mean?
Sorry. Whoopsies, my bad. Not to use jargon. But Ikemen is a Japanese slang for a beautiful man, essentially.
Yes. And the event Mickey is talking about is called Ikemen Cafe, which I feel like most people have heard of Japanese maid cafes, where you kind of go to the cafe and there's cute girls in cute dresses and they serve you food and you do little spells on your food. So we did our own version of that, except instead of cute girls in maid dresses, it's handsome men dressed up in butler outfits. And instead of doing spells on your food, we like dance for you, or we will feed you bites of food, or we'll do like an improv scene, stuff like that. So it's a very, very happening, the events. The room gets very loud, it gets very exciting, and it's done at an incredible restaurant called Ganbei Izakaya, which is themed over the One Piece anime, and the entire restaurant is an art piece. It's gorgeous. So that's an event that happens a couple times a year.
Yeah, if you're ever into the prospect of being around handsome, beautiful men, this is the place to go to. I mean, the popularity of Ikemen Cafe also, like, I thought it was going to be like a one-time, two-time thing, but like, you guys keep doing it like every couple of months too. So there are plenty of opportunities to be showed attention, affection, and love by beautiful men in so many opportunities. Anything else to kind of like add about that question earlier about the Vancouver scene and where you kind of want to see it going in the next couple of years?
I mean, there's like a really big dream though, 'cause I saw like on X, there's like a bunch of Japanese chica idols, they underground idols, they kind of like organized a really big event. A lot of groups, they went to the Tokyo Dome, and then they were performing there. Maybe like, I'm not sure, like one day we can have like bunch of groups and then we had like organize a big event and we can go to Rogers Arena. I mean, this is like,
Oh
yeah, super big
my
dream, but maybe.
God. Oh, that's really funny because one of our members keeps joking. He's like, "One day we're gonna go to Rogers Arena." And we're like,
Right?
"Maybe, maybe.
Yeah. It's a good dream.
The sky's the limit. Dream big."
Yeah.
That's cute.
I agree
But
so hard.
I guess for me to add on, I did like what Shida and Pocket said earlier about how Vancouver just becoming this its own identity of the idol community. Like it is neat how a lot of like independent, not independent groups, so like in like J-pop idol centered groups are coming in. Like we're seeing a lot more of that nowadays. But you know, hey, cosplay idols are still around, Boy Seven is still around. So we're like, you know, it would be nice it just saying that yes, there are J-pop idols, but there are also cosplay idols who take, you know, inspiration from anime or Vocaloid itself. So it's like, in the end, we're all idols. We're all doing the same thing we love together. We're all dancing. We're all here to make people smile and, you know, share our love. And that's the whole point. So we'll just keep doing what we love, keep sharing it, and hope that we see more of that diversity moving forward. Because I'm not gonna lie, I haven't seen a lot of cosplay idols lately. So I feel like eventually, because you know, Voyage 7, we're planning on reducing our activities after our 10th year. So it would be nice to see more of, you know, cosplay idols after us. Because it's like, guys, you know, it would be nice.
We are here with the performers and organizers of Moikai. If you're just tuning in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, I'm here with Shirei from Cloud Town and who also Pocket from Cloud Town, who are also both the organi two organizers of Anime Social YVR. Oh my God, Anime Social YVR, who are organizing this event, and then also here with Yui from Tuesday and Boy Seven. Mickey is here representing them. Let's spend a quick couple of minutes talking about, like, just, you know, being fans of idols. I really want to know, you know, like, who's your favorite idol or performer? It doesn't, they don't have to, they don't necess I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be like a real person. Or anything like that, but like your favorite the performer who inspired you to become an idol. What was it about them that really struck you? And can you talk a little bit about that moment that moved you so much that you were like, maybe I can give this a shot as well?
I can start first if everybody's still thinking. So my favorite, I wouldn't call it idol or like my favorite performer of all times is Sheena Rangel. She is a musician who does amazing like music in all styles, and her singing style and her stage presence is so great that you know like even through like you're watching it on your phone or like on a laptop, you can still be so immersed in the entire like the energy she's bringing. I was like so inspired, because I like both singing and dancing, so I'm like I'm gonna be like her. But since I know dancing as well, I'm just gonna bring dancing as well, and then let's be idol. You know that singing and dance, that's literally idol. I'm gonna be on the stage and you know radiate all the passion and all the love I have for the stage, and then make everybody happy, make me happy. So that's my original intention to be an idol, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's lovely, Shire.
So for me, I'm very into AKB48 since like 2013, I think. And then there's one time that I watched their kind of like record thing, and then I found the girl called Yamamoto Sayaka. Like I really like the like really cool girls, like dancing really cool, and she has a really like really deep voice and her vocal is super nice. And she that's why I'm kind of like really into her. And starting that, I started to like dig deep into AKB48 and started to learn their dance and everything. And then there's one day, because I'm also a cosplayer, I kind of like, oh, I want to be her. But let's try then. Like I was performing as her position and like dressing like her on the stage and then performing her songs, which is like you know, cosplayer love being the one that like they love and they like. So it was like really good experience for me. And yeah, I find this Yamamoto Sayaka is really like she can write her own song, she can write her own lyrics. And now she left the AKB48 group though, but she debuted by herself and started do like local tours, world tours, which is like she's super cool. Yeah.
Deep cut right there, Yui. I also loved Yamamoto
Oh! No, she's great.
She's really great. Pocket, do you want to go next?
I have a bit of a funny path, I think, not a very typical one, because I joined or I auditioned for Cloud Town because I saw somebody's Instagram story of them performing, and I went, oh my God, people do odotemita. Like, that's a thing. Odotemita means like cover dances of Vocaloid songs, basically. And I saw it and I was like shell shocked because I was a big fan of a lot of Otorite, so these Vocaloid cover dancers on YouTube. And I just loved watching their stuff. I loved their dances. I loved their choreographies. And I didn't know that other people did too, I guess. When I came to Canada and I saw just an Instagram story of Cloud Town performing, I was like shell shocked. I was very scared to audition, but I forced myself to, thank goodness. And so I actually never saw any performances myself live of any idols or any cosplay or anything like that until after I joined Cloud Town and was like kind of already performing with Cloud Town. So I think like my most direct inspirations are actually Cloud Town themselves, where like after I joined Cloud Town, yeah. I was very nervous, very scared, first timer. I was like, oh my God, wow, like they can dance so well. Oh my God, they're so beautiful. They're so nice. They're da 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 da. And like a lot of my own growth has come directly from like my seniors in Cloud Town, like trying to learn from them, if that makes sense. And that's kind of what brought me into the idol world, because before that, I just listened to Vocaloid. That was like my space, yeah.
How does that make you feel, Shirei, hearing that since you're the leader and you've been a common thread in all of the iterations of Cloud Town?
Just love.
That's so sweet.
Love.
Love.
Yeah, we're like each other's inspiration too. Like her style, absolutely. Like I remember we did Hayo Lokonde. That's the first dance cover that we had like three choreographers in Cloud Town like doing it together, and we use kind of each other's styles. It's really cool. You should go watch it if you haven't.
Yeah, definitely. It's on YouTube. What's your YouTube handle again?
It's Cloud Town underscore idols.
There we go. Look it up. If you're listening, but after the interview, Mickey, do you want to share a little bit about who your favorite performer is and what was that moment that really like made you feel like, ah, I'm gonna try to do this?
Honestly, I had a very similar experience to Pocket. Like, there wasn't a very one kind of person who, like, I'm gonna do that. Because when we first started, it was only like, I didn't really watch a lot of idols growing up. The most I ever watched, like, growing up, like, any kind of dance performing things I watched was like, watching things like Utena Prince-sama or Love Live, I'm like, wow, that's so cool. I would perform like them, and then maybe. And then seeing like you know, back on YouTube, you'd see like these people doing skits and like cosplay contests, and sometimes they'd be like in cosplay, sometimes they dance or whatever. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. Maybe we can do that one day. And then I saw that when I entered the Vancouver con scene, that there were these groups doing like, you know, cosplay dances without having to do this elaborate skit thing, or they were just, yeah, they signed up for a panel and they performed. Like, wow, that's really cool. I wonder if I could do that one day. And then I remember I had a few friends who came up to me. It's like, hey, do you want to join a Love Live Idol cover group? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Why not? And that's kind of where it started for me, just seeing like these other local performers doing what they love and being able to join in on that without any sort of like, what's the word? Without any sort of backlash, I would say backlash, but like just unabashedly doing what you love was awesome. And that's the kind of also self-expression of showing what you love was just really awesome to me. So, yeah, I would say. So the local idol scene, I would say, was what really moved me.
That's so lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Wow, we're getting really vulnerable and sweet on the program. We better start insulting each other before it gets too tender and gentle and all that.
Why would we insult each other?
keep the edge. Of community radio, I guess. But no, yeah. We are quickly running out of time here on the show, actually, because the first couple of questions, I guess we all had big brain thoughts about it, which is great. But we will be wrapping up the program very, very soon. Of course, before we do that, we got to talk about the future of you guys. You know, Moikai 2 is just one performance of a big bright future of what's going to happen for all your groups and your organization as well. So tell me what's coming down the road for you all, and what projects can the listener look forward to if they're like, I'm kind of interested in this.
Well, for Anime Social, in the future, I don't have any confirmed dates or places, but we are working on getting some big conventions up, some big ones. You know, we're talking in the thousands range of attendees, at some like proper big venues, you know, like convention centers, hotels, big warehouses, that kind of thing. So in the future, besides more Ikemen Cafe and other idol performances like Moikai, please expect some very exciting, proper big conventions from the Anime Social team.
Can I just quickly add there? I went to Pop-Up Hanami that happened earlier this year. And of course, I was at Moikai last year. I really want to say as well, like, Anime Social, they are very community minded. Like, they're very like, let's try to make everything great for our attendees and not put up like a big fuss over like complaints or like kind of like trolling and stuff like that. It's very, very good. I highly recommend if you are into like cons, and again, beautiful men. Beautiful men.
Priorities are straight.
Priorities are straight.
So for us, Tuesday, we kind of like just started like last month. So we would just keep like going on different performance in different conventions we're trying to. And then we definitely will want to try something different, like doing May cafes or like meet and greets or like different kind of events that maybe we will brainstorm about it. I'm not sure yet. Mm-hmm. But in the future, we are thinking of doing our original songs and dance. And we are very excited about it. Yes. Yeah.
Yippee. As for Boyish 7, we do have, this is, since this is our 10th year, we're kind of just going all out. We do have there's this Moi Kai next week. We're all very excited for that. We are fingers crossed that our Anime Revolution performance, that's going to be a really big one as well. So we're looking forward to that. And we are also, this isn't a surprise because we did talk about it on our Instagram, we will be holding our own cafe very soon. This will be our third one. So everyone look forward to that. It's going to be late summer. So it's featuring the Idler 7 characters. Be great. And then after that, maybe sometime next spring, again, we talked about this on Instagram, so it's not a surprise, but we do plan on doing one kind of big send-off, one giant one-man live, solo live for ourselves. So that's one thing that's kind of our future, what's looking like in the next year. So look forward to it. We're not done yet.
Yes. So exciting. One man life.
Yeah.
So for Cloud Town, actually, right after Moi Kai, I think 7 days after Moi Kai, we're going to have our first group performance outside of Canada. We're going to perform in Shanghai.
What?
As a group, but not the entire group, but just like four of us. But we're still really excited. Like, we got invited to this Idol Taiban in Shanghai to celebrate some group's members' birthday. But we're like so excited for it. And then hopefully we get to perform more in China. And then when we come back, hopefully we can prepare more like original stuff to the performances. And one day we want to do a One Man Live too. Let's go!
I love just how much passion everybody has here and the fearlessness to dream big, but to actually make that, like, put those like dreams into actual action. It is so cool. And I mean, being an Idol fan for so many years, if anything, that is the one thing that like idols are always emphasizing, you know, there's dream big and try to do it. Because just live your life and be happy. It's amazing.
You'd be surprised the power of friendship can do. I would not be able to do this with all the friends that I have, all the members. Like, we're only able to get this far is because we all share the same dream. We're all pushing ourselves. So,
yay!
That's so sweet. Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean. I will get emotional if we don't wrap things up. Just talking about friendship and dreams. But of course, you know, the listener might be interested now and wanting to know more about you guys and following what you're doing and stuff. So everybody, tell me where people can follow your work. And then also, let's do one final pitch for Moi Kai. When is it happening? What's going on? And where is it being held?
Yeah, sounds good. If any of what you heard today sounds interesting, if you also want to watch the development of our really cool community that's built on dreams and friendship, come to Moi Kai on June 20th. For 3+ hours of dancing, singing, passion, light stick dancing, and meet and greet. It starts at around 1 p.m. and it's going to be at number 200, 12,500 Vickers Way in Richmond, BC. And you can find more information on Anime Social YVR on Instagram. That's Anime Social YVR, or on our website, animesocial.ca. I hope to see the listeners there.
For us, well, we're going to be there. Voyage 7 is going to be there. Moi Kai next week. We're all very excited. If you like us or want to continue to support Voyage 7, we are also on Instagram, we are on YouTube, we are on TikTok, we are on Twitter, and we are on Facebook. And all you can do is look at Voyage 7, and Voyage 7 is spelled BOYISH7. So just look that up on your socials. Again, Voyage 7 is spelled BOYISH7, and you'll find us, no problem.
So, okay. She might go first.
Okay. Thank you. So if you want to find Cloud Town idols, we are Cloud Town, cloud in terms of the cloud on the sky, town, TOWN, underscore idols. We are on Instagram, Bilibili, YouTube, TikTok, and Xiaohongshu. Please find us. Thank you. I love you.
Okay, so for us, Tuesday, we will be joining Moika as well. Next week, we're so excited. And then if you guys want to find us on Instagram, our name is chus.day_official. Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. I'm definitely super looking forward to the performances happening later on this week on Saturday. It was a great show last year. I don't know if I got to express that to everybody who performed last year or the organizers, but it was great. Highly recommend. Even if it's your first foray into idol performances in Vancouver, I think the organizers make it really palatable. Or not palatable, but make it very accessible for folks to get into that.
Please enjoy 30 Seconds of Nature, brought to you by Ducks Unlimited Canada. Learn how you can experience nature in your community at ducks.ca.
Hey, it's Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was my interview with the performers and organizers of Moikai 2. Again, happening this Saturday, June 20th, over on Vickers Avenue in Richmond. Go check them out. The performers are really great. And again, I vouch for the performers because I went to Moikai last year. And I had such a good time. Thank you so much to Mickey of Boyish 7, to Yui of Tuesday, and to Shire and Pocket of both Cloud Town and Anime Social YVR. You can find more of their information in the show notes of this episode once it goes up onto the CJSF website later on this week. Check out more great CJSF program. You know what's going to keep you well fed and your ears satisfied? Beats and Eats every Thursday from 1 to 2 with your host, Nicole, who's also our public affairs coordinator. She's a chef and she's got great taste in music. She wants you to eat well. She wants you to eat sustainably. She wants you to enjoy life. Get into it. Beats and Eats, Thursdays from 1 to 2. Here's one song for you today. It's GMA with La La Rebirth, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I've been Leslie. I'll talk to you again very soon. Everybody, whoa.